the eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Song for the Conqueror, was written by Joseph Mindell.
Listen, far away, faintly, a melody hangs in the air. It is a song of the people, a simple melody with homely words. Lamia zich iba beten, let's be friends again. Too long we've been estranged, let's be friends again. An old song, a song of lovers reconciled. Lamia zich iba beten, let's be friends again. But listen, it is a different song. When the time came, the people put new words to the old melody and sang a new song. A song of life in the face of death. Can you hear? The voices fail. The singing ends. Only the echo of a whisper remains. Therefore, listen, for it was a song that heroes sang. It may be that 1,000 men cannot be heroes, for in that number are there two who are the same. But it may also be that the time and the place can make men more than they are. The place was a city in Poland, and the time was the late summer of 1939. And the heroes, I will describe them. Wise men and foolish ones, scholars in the Torah and ignorant men, carpenters, shopkeepers, schoolmasters, traveling peddlers, and among them, Joshua, a tailor in his own shop with a bell over the door. And a sewing machine that hummed from morning till night. A man who sang as he worked. And if one asked him,
"Why are you singing?"
he might look up with an innocent eye and answer,
"Oh, was I singing?"
For if he sang, it was without thinking. And because the people always sing without asking why.
What have you got to sing about, Joshua?
Here, slip on the coat, Ephraim. Let's see how it fits.
I asked you a question, Joshua. Well?
Well, I think the left shoulder has to be raised a little bit.
Look at you. How many hours a day do you work? 12, 14?
Now stand still, Ephraim. I can't mark the shoulder if you jump around.
And how many fur coats does Naomi have? How many thousands do you have in the bank?
I make a living.
Is that what you call it? And you sit there and sing.
Well, there's no law that says a tailor mustn't sing.
There's no law that says your children must sit in special seats at school and ghetto benches. In the 20th century in Poland, in civilized Poland, there's a law that tells you what business is forbidden and what schools are closed to your children, what taxes you must pay because you're a Jew.
Ephraim, if you're going to write a pamphlet, take off the coat so I can work on the shoulder.
You won't face reality.
You had a bad day today. In the factory, I mean. The foreman again?
Joshua, for us in Poland, every day is a bad day.
I suppose you're right, Ephraim.
And still you sing. In heaven's name, what have you got to sing about?
That's a good question.
Then answer it.
How can I answer, Ephraim? Ah, there's an old song.
And Joshua sang...
Frag die Welt an alte Kasche, tralala.
The world asks an old question.
Frag die Welt an alte Kasche, tralala, tradiri di rom. Entfert man.
And the answer is.
Tra-di-di-di-dum-bum-bum-bum, tra-di-di-di-dum, bleib doch weiter die alte Kasche.
So the question still remains.
Tra-di-di-di-rum, bleib doch weiter die alte Kasche, tra-la-tra-di-di-di-dum.
The question is old. Let it rest, it is not for us to answer. We need only understand the fact. The people sang. Often hungry, always persecuted. Still, in all the dark centuries, their songs rose up, remembered and remade, and always new. They sang when they worked and when they studied. They sang of courtship.
Wo willst du, a Schneider for a man, a Schneider for a man.
A Schneider for a man will ich nicht. But I do, Joshua. Yes, I do.
Do you, Naomi? Do you really want a tailor for a husband?
They sang to their children and to their parents. There were songs for weddings and songs for funerals.
Sich überbeten, überbeten, Ribbonai Shelohilam.
They sang of friendship, and if they quarreled, they sang when they made up. They were the little people and humble, and so they sang of the mighty and the powerful as their fathers did. And in their fathers' day, who was mightier than the Tsar of all the Russias?
Rabbi Sai, Chachomimon Abreg, Chvelach Fregen, Freg Schoin, Freg Schoin, Freg, Entfert alle, Auf mein Scheile, Wie trinkt a Kaiser Tee.
They sang how the Tsar drank tea out of a loaf of sugar, and how he slept in a room full of feather beds, while three regiments of soldiers stood outside shouting, "Shh!" If there was laughter in their songs, shall we ask at whom they were laughing? Singing was a way of telling the world what they thought of it. But it was a way of speaking as well. And when they spoke to God, they also sang.
La 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 la.
And if you were to ask the question again, if you asked them why they sang, then the answer might have been in the words of Isaiah,
"Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered."
They will be remembered. Joshua and Ephraim and the others. Jews of the city of Lublin who sang many songs. And I will tell you the story so that you may know who they were and what they did. In the first week of September of the year 1939, there was no sound of music in the city. And in Joshua's house, there was no singing.
Naomi. Naomi, will you bring the rope for the suitcase?
In a minute, Joshua.
Quickly, we have to hurry.
Will we ever come back? Joshua, I don't want to go away.
Well, you heard the morning radio. How much longer can the army hold back the Germans?
Then what's the use of running?
Well, maybe it's no use, but here in the city, crowded together, we're trapped. Maybe it's safer in the village or in the fields. Maybe, Naomi, I don't know.
What will we do? How will we live?
Oh, if I could only take my machine. Well, needle and thread came before the machine. Are the children ready?
They're waiting outside.
Ephraim! See, Naomi, Ephraim's come for us. We're late.
No, Joshua. There's plenty of time.
What are you talking about, Ephraim? We should have been on our way by now.
Look out of the window. Look, Joshua.
Soldiers. Wait, it's the Polish army.
There is no more Polish army. There are only pieces scattered and running.
And the Nazis?
They'll be here soon. They'll be everywhere. There's no hurry now.
No.
What are you doing, Joshua?
Mordecai won't be leaving now, will he?
Of course not.
That's what I thought, too. Then I must finish the jacket I was making for his son.
Reg die Welt an alte Kasche, tra-la, tra-di-di-di-do.
Silently, carefully, the Nazis built a wall of soldiers around the Jewish quarter. Inside, the people watched the gray steel guns move into position and saw, at last, the cold gray faces and went on living, cautiously, one day at a time. In the first days, living meant to be herded by streets and by sections. It meant standing in line to be counted, to be registered and classified.
You have the name and address, Sergeant?
Ja, Herr Kommandant.
Good. Occupation?
I'm a tailor.
Write it down, Sergeant. Your apartment, how many rooms has it?
Three, Your Excellency, and a little alcove where...
Four rooms, make a note. Can accommodate two families.
Oh, no. You see, the alcove is hardly bigger than a closet, and I...
That would teach you to contradict the Herr Kommandant.
If I may be permitted to explain, I...
Be still! The next reminder will not be a slap.
I meant no disrespect, Your Excellency.
I warned you.
Let him speak, Sergeant. His persistence is amusing.
Thank you, Your Excellency. I think you should know there is really not room for another family in my apartment.
No.
No, you see, I have my shop there, my tailor shop.
Indeed. And... You won't need your shop anymore.
Oh, but I will. How else can I earn a living?
The Third Reich has work for you. You will be provided with a living. Of sorts.
The Third Reich organized the Polish ghettos into factories to supply Germany and provided a living, carefully planned, nicely calculated, to produce goods and wear out the producers. It was a living of sorts.
Naomi, do you know how many uniforms I sewed today?
I don't need statistics to see how tired you are.
Oh, no, that's not what I mean. Just think, 800 of us in one factory sewing all day long. And what about the shoe factories and the sawmills and all the others?
What about them?
Well, maybe it's a good sign. We're useful to them. And if we're useful, then they won't... Well, that is, they'll...
Do you really believe that, Joshua?
We live from day to day. Sometimes you can't help thinking about tomorrow.
Do you also believe in tomorrow?
We have to go on living, Naomi.
Then we'll live, but without believing. We've seen their faces, Joshua. Are you too tired to help me move the dresser to the other side?
Well, there? It'll block half the doorway.
We have to make room. They're going to send us another family. Tell me, is that also a good sign?
We'll manage, Naomi.
And where are they coming from, all these other families?
Jews came streaming into Lublin, into the ghettos of half a dozen Polish cities, packed into cattle cars, carrying their possessions in a suitcase or on their shoulders, tied in a tablecloth. They also carried the burden of what their eyes had seen, and they brought new songs.
Es brennt, Brüderlech, es brennt. Ei unser Ohrem steht und nebach brennt. Beise Winden mit ihre Gosen reißen, brechen und zu blasen. Und ich
it's burning, brothers, it's burning. Our poor little town is burning, they sang. More than houses went up in flames, and those who had lived in them were herded into the ghetto behind the wall of soldiers. In Lublin, families were displaced, pushed closer together, lives intermingled in crowded intimacy, as Ephraim's family with Joshua's.
Stop it! Stop that machine!
What's the matter with you, Ephraim?
Every night you run the machine for hours, every night.
Well, what do you expect? What else can I, when else can I sew for my family?
I work hard all day.
Well, so do I. There's no use complaining to me.
I'm entitled to a little peace and quiet in my own home.
Your home?
I pay half the rent.
I was getting along very well without your share. If you don't like
it,
you can...
There's no hiding from them. Joshua, don't let them do it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Naomi.
They work us till we drop with weariness. They crowd us together and give us just enough food to drag ourselves to work again. But that's not enough for them. Look at yourselves.
Don't be angry, Naomi.
They force their mask on our faces and make them faces of stone and turn us one against the other. Don't let them do it, Joshua.
Lamir sich überbeten, überbeten, reweineische Leila.
Thou art my hiding place. Thou wilt preserve me from the adversary. With songs of deliverance, thou wilt compass me about.
Everybody out! Do you hear me? Advance!
This is our synagogue, Sergeant.
Everybody out! The synagogue is closed!
Where the congregation is, there is the synagogue. They met in someone's house or in the back of an abandoned shop and sang the prayers and psalms. Behind locked doors, they sang.
No singing! It is forbidden to sing!
They sang softly. So softly that only God could hear. They set a watchman at the door and listening for the footsteps they knew would come. Still, they sang.
The patrol is coming! It's all right. They've gone past.
Softly they sang, and it may be that they wept, knowing the words of Jeremiah.
The whole land trembleth, for they are come, and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city, and those that dwell therein.
And it may also be that for the first time, understanding came. Not completely, and not to all, for some things it is easier not to know, and some understanding comes with great reluctance.
They don't want us to live. They don't want us to live.
Shh, not so loud, Joshua.
What have we done? Why are we abandoned?
I'll hear you, Joshua. Be still.
Elihu said unto Job, by reason of the multitude of oppressions they cry out. They cry for help by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night?
In heaven's name, Joshua, come away from the window before they find us
but
here.
But I say it, for myself and for those who are silent, I say it. Where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night? Where, Ephraim? Where? God has a controversy with all mankind. The Lord of the universe is angry with his children.
On a morning in January of the year 1940, in a field that once was a public park in Lublin, 1,000 men stood, shoulders touching, as if shrinking from the circle of gray uniforms, steel-gray guns, stone-gray faces that surrounded them. On such a morning when the sun gleams in every part of the sky, the still, cold air carries the least stir, the smallest breath of living. But on this day, there was no sound from the 1,000 standing in the field, nor from their wives and children who followed and stood at the edge. No sound except the commands of the conqueror.
It appears that you are a very musical people. You persist in singing your prayers, despite my strict orders. That so, Sergeant?
Absolutely, Herr Commandant.
Yes. Today you will have an opportunity to exercise your voices. Proceed, Sergeant.
Jawohl, Herr Kommandant. Sing, you swine!
I want a merry tune, the kind they sing on their Sabbath.
You heard the Herr Kommandant. Sing!
I am waiting, Sergeant.
Ja, Herr Kommandant. You there! Sing! The devil take you, sing!
Not one at a time, you fool!
Jawohl. First platoon, start from the left flank. Second platoon, from the right.
No shooting, not yet.
Whips and rifle butts only.
Wait, Sergeant. I'm in no hurry. Let them think it over for a little while.
They stood crowded together in the open field and no man looked at another. They stood together in the cold sunlight and would not sing. And then, as the whips were raised and the rifles were ready, a melody began. The melody was old, but the words were new. Let's be friends again, Lord of the Universe. O Lord of the Universe, let's be friends again. The melody hovered in the air like a question. And then, as if the question were answered, the voices changed. And the 1,000 stood together and sang a song for the conqueror. We will survive them. We will survive them. O Lord of the universe, we will survive them.
Listen to them sing.
You ordered, Herr Commandant.
Don't you hear them? Don't you know what they are saying? Stop them. Stop that singing. Stop. I tell you, stop.
Listen. The voices fail. The singing ends. Only the echo of a whisper remains. Therefore, listen, for it was a song that heroes sang.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Leonard Sidlow, Vice President of the United Synagogue of America and President of Congregation Shari Tzedek of Detroit. Dr. Sidlow.
A song of life in face of death. How familiar a phrase in the unconquerable and deathless spirit of the Jewish people. The story of the Jew in his struggle for survival and self-expression has a glorious sweep and continuity, which makes it a most significant study. Probably the most important factor in the Jew's history is his refusal to yield to despair. The first and most decisive test was in the year 586 before the Common Era, at the time of the destruction of the first temple. Out of those days of great suffering and the decline of the great prophets came a large portion of the Bible. Out of the exile from the land of Palestine in the period during and following the second temple came the rabbis and the Talmud. From the ashes of the crematoria of the Nazis came modern Israel. These examples of refusal to yield to despair could be multiplied many times over through the thousands of years of the Jews' history. The very resoluteness of purpose and its subsequent consequences amply attest to the solidity of the idea. Another significant fact in the Jew's will to live is his attachment of hope to particular ideas. Convinced in the oneness of God, in God the Father and King, Jews have bound up their concept with their destiny. To this very day, Jews have died reciting the undying phrase, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." In recent times, too, the most immortal song of the Warsaw Ghetto victims on their way to death was, "I Believe." Woven in the fabric of the characteristics of Jewish peoplehood also is a sense of personal piety. Prayer, religious customs, and traditions still permeate the Jew's life. From Moses and the Ten Commandments to the Code of Maimonides of the 12th century to Joseph Caro's work, The Prepared Table, or Shulchan Aruch of the 16th century, ethical norms of conduct as well as basic doctrine have become formalized into laws. Laws which have had elaborations and commentary, to be sure, but having a certain basicity, which is a beacon toward enlightenment of the Jew and his neighbor. Yes, Jews have a song for the conqueror, a song of life in face of death.
Thank you, Dr. Sitlow. Our Eternal Light drama today was A Song for the Conqueror, written by Joseph Mindell. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Roy Shield. Cantor Robert Siegel was the soloist. Featured in the cast were Alan Bergman, Ellen Muir, Teo Getz, Stan Early, and Roger DeCoven. Your narrator was Bert Cowlin. This is Mel Brandt. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.